This morning's message is entitled, Keys to Handling God's Message. Have you received a message from God lately? I'm quite certain that you have, that God has been speaking to you because we have a God who reveals himself, a God who speaks to us. And so we're going to look at one of Jesus' teachings this morning found in Mark 4, verses 1 to 20. So please turn there to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. Jesus tells a familiar parable here. We often call it the parable of the sower or the parable of the seeds. You could call it the parable of the soils. There's a number of different names that you could give this. So let's read it together this morning and then we'll talk about it. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that had gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat, and he sat in it out on the lake while the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, "Listen! A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear, Satan comes in and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." Mark places this parable in his gospel as Jesus is on one hand drawing great crowds to himself. And many in the crowds seem primarily attracted to his miracle working. Here only in the fourth chapter of Mark, we've already met a number of people, a number of groups of people, and learned about their reactions to Jesus. Some are quite sincere, and from them he's chosen the 12. There are some who are sincerely following him. On the other hand, he's come into conflict with religious leaders and even with his own family. We find that earlier here in Mark chapter 3. In this setting is where Mark places this parable of the sower. It's a parable that speaks to the heart condition of those who are listening to Jesus and of their resulting response to God's revelation. So it speaks to our response to God's revelation in our lives. Have you ever gone to a worship service more to see what was going to happen than to really listen to it? Kind of weigh things and judge them out. Maybe it wasn't here at our church, but maybe you heard about something somewhere else, or something was happening here you weren't sure about, and so you went to that service just to see. You weren't quite certain about it. I don't know if you've ever had that kind of experience. What's it like when we do that kind of thing? Are we really able to hear God, to hear His message, to what's happening in that worship service? Maybe sometimes those are the kinds of things that we do as opposed to really listening to what God is saying. Now, this parable, we could simply look at it as being descriptive. And we could use it to say, oh, I know what happened to that guy. He's so wounded that he couldn't even understand or grasp God's message. That's where the seed fell by the path. Or we could say, she responded positively, but she's just too wrapped up with the stuff of this world, and it's taken over her life. Must be like the seed among thorns. The parable may have some value for that kind of understanding, but I believe its most powerful purpose is for self-examination, reflection, and instruction. How do I respond to God's word? How do I respond to God's message? And so I hope that you'll take the parable that way this morning, asking yourself, how have I been responding to what God's telling me? God's message to me. Now, we often call the Bible God's Word. This is God's Word to us. But God's message to you is not just the words printed on this page here. It's how God speaks to you through these words. In other words, how does God apply what we call the Word of God to your life? What is He telling you as you read these words, or as you hear them preached, or as you listen to them, as you pray and as you meditate, as you discuss with other believers, as you pay attention to God's message, what is He saying to you? What application is He making in your life? God's message to us is always very personal. It doesn't contradict what we find in the Bible. But through these words in the Bible, God, by His Holy Spirit, applies them in our lives. It's one of the things that I remember specifically as I went to a private high school for just my last 2 years of high school. It's one of the teachings I remember in my Bible class there. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to take God's Word and apply it in our lives, to speak to us through the Bible, God's Word in that way. So Jesus, as He begins to tell this story, this parable, says, listen. He says, be attentive. And that's the first key to handling God's message, is be attentive. Pay attention. It means, first of all, that we have to have an open heart to hear God's word. We have to desire to hear Him. Verses 9 through 12 here, as after Jesus tells the story, tells the parable. Then in verses 9 through 12, Jesus is really talking about that openness or hardness of heart that we may have. It's probably the most difficult verses in this section here. Many theologians try to work out the language here so that it doesn't quite say what we read here in English, because when we read it, we're not sure about it, because it says that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Doesn't sound like God to us, does it? What, God doesn't want them to understand? God doesn't want people to understand? And maybe we get hung up with the logic. Throughout the Bible, we find both of these things holding together, and to us they seem contradictory. On the one hand, we find this teaching that we have a responsibility to respond to God. And on the other hand, we hear that God is in control. And God decides. And so we don't understand sometimes. It doesn't make sense. It seems contradictory. But the Bible continually gives witness that it's up to us to respond and God is in control. And those two things work together. And so I think what Jesus is addressing here is he's saying that it's important for our hearts to be open. And we do have a choice about whether our hearts are open to his message or whether they're hardened and whether we're unwilling to listen. And those two things work together. And so Jesus says, if our hearts are hard, we're not going to understand. It's kind of like going to that worship service that I talked about earlier. If you're just going to check things out, you might not get what's going on. You might not catch what God wants to do in your life. But if you go to that worship service with your heart open, saying to God, Lord, I want to hear what you're saying. I want to connect with you today, God. Then you'll understand. You'll hear God's message. You'll understand what it is. For those who persist in unbelief, these parables veil the truth. But for those who have open hearts, the parables call us to dig deeper, to listen more attentively to what God is saying, to what Jesus means through these parables. The parable invites us to dig, to find the real meaning and allow it to be applied in our lives. Perhaps Jesus didn't want those whose hearts were truly hardened like some of the religious teachers to understand and to use against him what he was teaching. In verse 11, it talks about the secrets of the kingdom. The emphasis is not on a secret for a select few. That's not what the word of God is about. But it's an emphasis on something new that is being revealed. The mystery, something that hasn't been revealed in the past, the mystery of the kingdom of God. Many of Jesus' parables speak about the kingdom of God and the fact that the kingdom of God is upon us. In Jesus Christ, God's kingdom has been birthed. It's here with us. So this morning, as you think about God's message to you, consider it a kind of treasure. Not everybody hears God's message. So hold on to it. You are privileged. Treat it with gratitude and care what God is saying to you. Be attentive. Practice listening prayer. Pay attention to what's happening in your life. What are the big issues? What keeps happening? What is God saying in those issues? Often we complain that we cannot hear God or that he's not being clear enough. But our God desires to be known. He wants to reveal himself. I think we usually complain that we cannot hear him when a step of faith is required, when we need to believe and to trust him. We've not heard as much as we want so that we can eliminate that need for faith, that need to trust. Jesus speaks often about being attentive, even down here in verses 24 and 25, a little below what we already read this morning. Jesus says, consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. Jesus is talking about here about hearing his message. As we're attentive, he speaks more. If our hearts are hardened and not open, we lose that message. So trust and expect that God has a message for you and that he desires to lead you and guide you. Be attentive in that way. Jesus, like the farmer, spreads his word, his message for all to hear in all the areas of our lives, even the areas where there's hard soil and thorns. He spreads his word, his message for us. So be attentive. As Jesus talks about the soils, he says, beware of the enemy's lies. As verse 15 speaks of the seed that falls by the path, beware of the enemy's lies. It says that Satan comes and steals the word away, like the birds that eat the seed by the path. John 8:42-44 says this about the enemy. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I am here." So he's again speaking with some of the religious leaders who are really against him. "I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Jesus, in this passage of John, is saying one can harden their heart and believe the lies of the enemy, and you won't be able to hear Jesus. You won't understand what he's saying. Satan will use lies to keep God's message from taking root in our lives. They may be lies related to the baggage that we carry from previous experiences, painful experiences of childhood, or relationships in which we've been neglected, abused, or betrayed. And sometimes through those difficult experiences, we carry some lies from the enemy. Lies that say, "I don't matter. Nobody cares for me. I could never be loved." Those are lies from the enemy, lies which keep us from hearing God's message, his message of love for us, his message that we are valuable to him. And so we have to renounce those lies. We have to let go of those lies from the enemy and hear what God's message is to us. What does he say? The enemy's lie may be the lie of impossibility. If we believe that things are impossible for God, his message may be snatched away so that we never hear it. Has that ever happened to you? "I don't think God can do this." None of us would say that, okay? Because we all know God is all-powerful. But we say it in subtle ways. Maybe sometimes we believe it in subtle ways, that God can't do this, it's impossible for him. Or he won't do it. Can we hear his message when we believe that lie? They may be lies of prejudice. We've built up stereotypes about people. People of differing skin color, people of a different gender, people of a different culture or a different religion. Sometimes we have those prejudiced lies in our lives. They keep us from hearing God's message. It gets snatched away. They may be lies about what's really important in life. Our society tells us that wealth is more important than people. Or perhaps more subtly, that things are what make us happy and fulfill us. Popularity and good looks are a must. Those lies allow the word of God to be snatched away, his message to be snatched from us. Don't allow yourself to be lied to. Be attentive, be aware of the enemy's lies, and persevere in carrying out God's message to you. When God gives you a message, when God tells you something, don't expect to live it out without opposition. Hold on for dear life. Don't give up. You'll have to trust God. God's in the business of growing our faith. God says about the second place that the seed falls is on rocky ground. Ground where there's a little bit of soil and it springs up quickly. The plant springs up, but then it withers because there's no root when the sun comes out. And he says that's like when there's persecution, when there's opposition. and we give up. We don't hold on to God's message. So persevere. Share God's message with someone for accountability. What's God been telling you? Share it with someone so that you may persevere. Act on it quickly when God speaks to you so that you commit yourself. A few years ago, I was planting grass in my lawn. I expected to see little blades of grass coming out in about a week. I was checking within a couple of days for those blades of grass. And after a week, there still wasn't any grass there. I was getting tired of watering that grass. I had to water it every day, make sure the soil stayed moist. I was tempted to quit after a week. It looked like it hadn't worked. The seed hadn't sprouted. Once again, I've got a brown thumb. There's some more money wasted. But I kept on watering. And in a few more days, some blades of grass began to come up. It was still kind of sparse, but more and more grass came up. I had to persist in watering that soil, waiting for the seed to sprout and to come up, and continue to water so that it would grow. God says, when I speak to you, persevere in the message that I've given you. Hang on to it. Don't let it wither. What message have you heard from God? Are you still living into it? When a plant grows, we only see half of the growth. Half of it's underground. And that's where it starts first, and it continues to grow there. We see part of it above the ground. Persevere with God's message that He's given you. Also, keep God's priorities. Keeping priorities is about choosing the best when there's many good options. There are many good things in life that compete for our time and our energy. There are many good things, more good things than we have time or energy for. It's possible to spend our lives on those good things rather than the things that God shows us, the things that He speaks to us about. When our kids were young, we homeschooled. And as they were old enough to stay on their own at the house for a few hours, we might leave them at home, ask them to do some chores while we're gone, if Luann and I both had something going on, or ask them to finish their schoolwork, their homeschool work. But sometimes when we were gone, we would think of something that needed to be done for dinner that evening, so we might call home and ask the kids to get something out of the freezer or put something on the stove. That was to be a priority. Now, there were other good things we'd ask them to do. They were supposed to do some chores. They were supposed to do their schoolwork. If we got home and they didn't do what we asked them to do to help get dinner ready, but they did do the good things like studying their work, doing their schoolwork, that was important, an important priority. But they didn't do the one that we asked, well, we'd have a bunch of grumpy people who were hungry for dinner. And no dinner was ready, and maybe grumpy parents. It would have been a matter of priorities. There were a number of good things we were asking them to do, but there was something specific that we wanted them to do, that they were to not to ignore. When we receive God's message, we have to make it a priority in our lives. There's many good things that'll get us off task. It relates to this soil where the thorns grow up and the thorns choke it out. Not being attentive to God's priorities for us will choke the life out of us. It's not easy to do, to keep those priorities. It's kind of like following the path of least resistance. That's what water usually does. Follows the path of least resistance. And it does that, it etches out sometimes giant canyons. They're beautiful sometimes, but not necessarily good for a whole lot. But when water is carefully directed, it can strip the paint off of a wall. It can produce power. It can even cut steel. They have water saws that cut steel when it's directed properly. So keep God's priorities as He gives you, as He speaks to you. Hold on to that. Keep those priorities. And finally, expect growth. This parable may emphasize the power of the sown seed as much as the response of the soils. The kingdom has come and it will flourish, is what this parable says. There will be a response. The only question is, will we be among the responders to God's message in our lives? Many of the parables that Jesus tells emphasize the certainty of the kingdom's growth. Despite opposition, there will be a bountiful harvest. Isaiah 55:11 tells us that God's word will not return to Him empty, but will accomplish what God desires and achieve His purpose. And so the real message is, God's kingdom has come. We often like to bemoan the state of our world, the state of our country, sometimes the state of the church or the younger generation. I want to challenge you this morning to not really be a part of that. The message of this parable is that God's kingdom has come and it will grow. And it will produce fruit despite the obstacles. The only question is whether we will receive the kingdom, whether we will receive God's message. Is your heart prepared to receive God's message like the good soil? The good soil which produced fruit. That's what this parable tells us. When we see negative things and obstacles in the world, we can bemoan them, or we can be attentive to God's message. We can be part of the growth of the kingdom of God. So God, like the sower of the seed, is not stingy with His message. He flings it abroad for all to hear. God's word saturates our world and saturates our lives. We're called to be attentive, to beware of the lies of the enemy, to persevere in carrying it out, and to keep God's priorities in our lives. Jesus announces the good news of the kingdom. It will grow. There will be fruitfulness. The only question is whether we will choose to be a part of it. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up this morning. I'd like to ask you this week, or as you reflect on the messages that you've received from God, are you holding on to those messages? Is your life like the good soil in this parable, where the kingdom springs up within you and bears fruitfulness? Please stand and let's pray together. Lord, I thank You that You speak to us. Lord, You have spoken to us often in the past, and You will continue to do so. Lord, it's our desire that our lives would be like the good soil. That as You share Your message with us, whether it's something that You have for us to do, something that You desire for us to change in our lives, or some word about how You love us, how You care for us. Father, I ask that by Your Spirit that You would empower us to hold on to that message, to not believe any of the lies of the enemy. Father, to not allow all the things around us in this world, all the cares and concerns, to choke out that message. Father, I ask that You would raise up faith within us, that we would persevere with that word, that we would continue to believe what You've told us and to act on it. And Father, I thank you that you will bear fruit in our lives. I thank you that your kingdom has come and that you reign in our lives. Thank you. Father, we open our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.